Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
This is what the darkness tries to do. They don't like you coming in with a standard that makes them look bad. It's a condemning, judging thing. Not that you are judging them or putting them down, but it just shows their error, and their own conscience bears witness. They know in their heart. They know in their heart that being a homosexual isn't right, that killing babies isn't right. People know these kind of things. They know this, but they don't want to focus on it. They want to surround themselves with people who will only agree with their position. They don't want any error exposed. And so if you come out with a standard where you stand for something moral, you know the first thing they'll do is begin to start attacking you and trying to discredit you and to bring you down and break you. And if they can discredit you, well then basically the influence of what you're saying against them ceases to have any impact. Amen? That's the logic behind persecution. Actually, persecution, if you understand it correctly, means that the person who is yelling the loudest is under the most conviction. It's like when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps the loudest got hit. And you know, when you take a stand for godliness, the one who criticizes you the most is actually the one that, man, they felt something. And so they are going to attack you trying to counter this conviction that they're feeling. They're feeling this light. And that's the reason that they come against you. You know, one of the greatest words that I ever received in my life was from a man named Joe Nay. He's kind of like a person who was a mentor to me. And I was still in the Baptist church and I was trying to preach and share the things that God was revealing me. And man, I was being persecuted mercilessly for this and told I was the devil and bad things were happening. And so anyway, I came to one of Joe's meetings and I was a little discouraged. And Joe called me out and he saw this and he said, "Andrew, I see you like a runner on a track." And he said, "You're running on this track." And he said, "You're doing a good job. You're leading the pack. You're winning the race. But the people in the grandstands are yelling at you and telling you that you're doing it all wrong. And I see you getting off of the track and running up into the grandstands and arguing with the spectators." And he says, "Even if you win the argument, you're going to lose the race." He says, "Stay on track. Stay on track." And that's what all this persecution is about. It's to get you to where it's more about, well, look what they said about me, and get hurt. And you start defending yourself and taking time that you could have used for speaking the truth and showing the love of God to people, for sitting there and defending yourself. And even if you defend yourself and win the argument, you've quit preaching the gospel. You've quit standing for the truth. And that's what it's all about. Satan is trying to get us sidetracked. And I'm not saying any of these things that I've said tonight in a condemning way, but I am trying to motivate us, brothers and sisters, that we're praying and asking God for all of these things that we need. And yes, there's a place for that. But we are the salt and the light of this earth. And if we don't do something with what God has given us, then what we see happening in our world, in the United States, is a result of the body of Christ not being salt and light. You know, back in the 70s, we had the moral majority. One of these surveys that I had up here, I didn't read all these statistics, but they said that that was probably the third greatest political move in the history of the United States, citing the Great Awakening that started with Jonathan Edwards and stuff, and they put it into historical context. And there was a great move, and I mean in the 70s, Christians got interested and involved in politics. And you remember, if you were here, the moral majority terrified the ungodly people in this nation, and they criticized it and came against it. But we mobilized millions of Christians. But would anybody argue that the United States is better off now than it was back in the 70s? It seems like it's just in a continuing spiral. I guarantee you in the 70s they wouldn't have ever legalized gay marriages and things like that. The point I'm making is that our answer isn't political. Our answer isn't in getting people elected and getting Christians to vote and to do all these things. Now, that's a part of the answer. I'm not saying that we don't take our responsibility. We've got a responsibility to exercise the privileges that have been given to us. So I'm not saying that you don't vote and that you don't participate. But the true influence of the church isn't political. The true influence of the church is to preach the gospel, to tell people the truth, to stand for light, to salt and preserve this world. And as you change men's hearts, I guarantee you, if we had a full-blown revival going in this nation, then I could guarantee you we would start electing godly people. We would start putting people on the Supreme Court who would interpret the law in a way that reflected the true intent of the way it was intended to be. But we've got an ungodly populace that nearly 50% of the people who are claiming to be born-again Christians are embracing standards that are completely contrary to the Word of God. Something is wrong with this picture. We've watered down Christianity. We aren't taking a stand. And again, I preach grace as much as anybody. I'm not saying God is mad at us for this, but there still is right and wrong. And there are consequences when you do what's wrong. And man, we have to stand up. And the reason that this nation is moving the direction it is, it's not because of lack of political effort. The body of Christ has been more involved politically probably than any other generation of Christians that have ever been in this nation. And yet, it hasn't turned the tide because we're losing the hearts of people. And as the people go, as the individual goes, then that's the way the nation goes. We're going to elect people that reflect our moral values. And nearly 50% of born-again Christians don't hold basic moral values. How in the world can you expect the world to rise to a higher standard? Man, that's got to change. Let me just read another statistic. I'm not going to bore you with all of this, but I've got to look at this. It says, among the more startling numbers in the survey conducted last year by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life, 57% of evangelical church attenders said they believe many religions can lead to eternal life. 57, and these are evangelicals. Evangelicals are considered to be the hardcore Christians. This isn't including people that call themselves Christians in name only, or supposedly it isn't. But anybody who says that 57% of so-called hardcore Christians that believe that other religions can lead you to God, that you don't have to be born again. You know, David Hardesty down here was telling me about some people, I won't mention their names, but some of the leading evangelical leaders in the nation were asked, was it Larry King Live, I think? And he was asking them, so are you saying that if a person doesn't accept Jesus, that they wouldn't go to heaven, that they would go to hell? And I think two out of the three caved and said, oh, well, now we're tolerant of everybody and you know what? Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. We're going to have to start speaking that out. We're going to have to start standing up for something. And I guarantee you, if you say stuff like this, people are going to get mad at you. There will be people that will sit there and brand you, and they will just automatically put you in a box with somebody else. But nonetheless, you got to start standing for the truth. You got to start speaking the truth. And you know, one of the things that I found is that when you're just blunt and when you say what you feel, regardless of what the consequences are, it actually pushes you into a corner to where you can't do anything but serve God. You take a stand and you're just out there on a limb. There's nowhere to go. Amen. You're out there telling people that, man, God heals today. And they said, oh, you're crazy. And you just sit there. And I mean, after a while, they expect this of you. And they always expect you to take that part. And you just start influencing. You change the entire flavor of everything. You know, I don't know how to exactly summarize what I'm saying. But it's, in a nutshell, I'm saying that we have much more power. God said we are the salt of the earth. God, when you got born again, put a killing, power against evil on the inside of you, a preserving influence, something that gives flavor to this life. God made you that. And often we see ourselves as the one who has nothing to offer and people would reject us. But we are the only hope that the world has. Jesus said, and I believe in John chapter 9, as long as he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But you know what? Jesus is gone. And now he's living in us and he said, you are the light of the world. When he was here on the earth, he says, walk while you have light. Because the day comes when you won't have light. And he was talking about when he was taken away. Now, he lives only through us to the extent that we stand up. If we don't stand up and speak what is correct and reveal the light, then there is no other way for it to happen. God made us that way. And brothers and sisters, I'm trying to say that we've got to step up to the plate. We've got to start taking this responsibility and we've got to start speaking the truth. Even if it cost you something. The chances of you being killed and burned at the stake and torn limb from limb, like this woman Felicitas that I told you about, the day after she gave birth to her baby, they stripped her naked and put her in a just a cage. And they turned wild bulls loose on her that just ripped her from limb to limb. Nobody in here suffered anything like that. Man, when you see the price that other people have paid to be the light and the salt, you know, it just makes all of our little criticisms, somebody's going to reject you. You know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep gospel truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
Again today, I would like to encourage any of you who have not yet become partners with us to join up and become partners. You know, there's about 1% of the people who actually receive from these programs who ever write in and help us financially. And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying that it ought to be much greater. It really should be. You know, I believe that these truths need to get out to everybody in the world, but I can't do it by myself. I'm willing to make the programs. I'm willing to do all of the work, but we need people to help us. How can they preach except they be sent? I'm asking you to send me. I'm asking you to pray about it and then call and become a monthly partner with us today.